The message you are about to hear was recorded live at Life Christian Center, located at 2193 State Highway F in Branson, Missouri. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Join us now as we receive a fresh word from God.
Well, let's get into the word this morning. Open your Bibles, if you have them, or your phone, your Bible app, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark and chapter 4. We're going to cover a story that I am sure, I'm almost positive, that probably everybody in this room has heard this story before. And maybe even heard some messages, some sermons using this as the text. But that's okay. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, so we can hear again. And God can always, the Holy Spirit can always illuminate new things to us. Amen. So we're going to read in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. We're going to read where Jesus calms the storm. Okay? Where Jesus calms the storm. Now, I think being a weather forecaster, would be a tough job. You know, watching weather patterns and predictions and hours of the day when certain things are supposed to happen and what the temp's going to be and what the wind speed is. I think that's a pretty tough job. But yet, on the other hand, I know this. I listen to some weathermen or look at my weather app, and a lot of times it is wrong. And they get to keep their jobs. It's like, how do you mess up 50% of the time and get to keep your job? You know? So finding that weather person that is most accurate sometimes is a challenge. Now, I'm not going to totally dog him because I don't know that I could do it either. But I kind of think if you go to school and study some stuff, you should get some things right a little more. And so it's great when they're right and you look at the app. But then other times when they're totally wrong, you think, man, what were they smoking? Or like, or what were they doing, you know? So here we have a story about weather, and Jesus is the ultimate weatherman. He knows, he always knows the weather. And in this story, he knew the weather. Now, he didn't tell the disciples the weather ahead of time, but he knew the weather. So sometimes if I've got something seriously pressing going on, I look at that little app and it'll say it's supposed to, you know, 30% chance of rain or whatever. And so I say, Lord, is it really 30% chance of rain so that I can plan my day? And sometimes he'll say, there's no rain. I was like, okay, well, that's going to be wrong today. So let's read this story about the storm and the weather. And let me give you a quick little background. Jesus and the disciples, they're getting ready to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake. And the Sea of Galilee, what's interesting about the Sea of Galilee is it sits 600 feet below sea level. It's one of the, might be the lowest, or one of the very lowest lakes on the earth. And so the Sea of Galilee is not very big. It's only about 14 miles long. And half as wide, 7 miles wide. Now, at some of the wide parts of Table Rock, let's take a lake we're familiar with, some of the widest parts of Table Rock, if you go across from A to B across the lake, and if you're in a let's say, whatever kind of motorboat, I mean, you can be across the lake even at the wide parts in, let's say, 15, 20 minutes, at the widest parts. And if you drive like I would drive it, just, you'd be there in about 10. Because I like everything to go fast. So, but here's the thing. In this time, they didn't have. They either had to sail across or row across. And so for them to go 7 miles across, if you were rowing, any guess how long it might take? 4 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours. If I had a prize, I would give it to you. I don't have a prize, so here, have a phone. It would take about 3 hours, a three-hour tour. But the weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. And if Jesus hadn't been fearless, the disciples would have been lost, right? So we're talking about a three-hour journey across the lake with Jesus in the boat. Okay? So Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Let's read the story. This is not Gilligan and Skipper and what is it? The professor and Marianne, right? The Howells. None of them were on this boat. But we did have the disciples and Jesus for this three-hour tour. Verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, and this is huge, guys, what Jesus says when they start the tour. I don't know what the skipper told all of them about their three-hour tour, but here's what Jesus said about this three-hour tour. He said, let us, who's the us? Jesus and the disciples. He says, let us cross over to the other side. So Jesus determined, he explicitly told them what the destination was. And the destination is over there. See those trees over there? We're going to row, row, row the boat across the lake. This is just a song sermon. That's what this is turning out to be. We're going to row over there to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, man, this is a dumb statement they made. But we've made some crazy, ridiculous statements to God before, too. They say, Teacher, do you not care that we perish? Don't you even care if we're going to drown? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. And here's what he said. Peace, be still. So his statements were, first statement, let us go to the other side. We're going over there. His second statement was, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, now here's his third statement. Why are you so fearful? And then how is it that you have no faith? Why are you fearful? And how is it you have no faith? One translation says, how is it you still do not have faith? In other words, you didn't have faith a few days ago, and I taught you some things, and now you still don't have faith. And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Like, who is this guy? Who is this man? So there's our story. Now, I have a few questions along the way for you to just answer within yourself. The first one, when storms come up, do you focus on the storm or do you focus on the Savior that can save you from the storm? Who, what do you focus on? Do you focus on a what or do you focus on a who? Because oftentimes, we're going to have some storms in our life, and we get to decide, each one of us get to decide for ourselves what our focus is going to be. Are we going to focus on the storm, or are we going to focus on the Savior? So let me give you a couple of lessons of how to stay full of faith, or how to weather a storm, okay? Because we are all going to encounter some storms. Jesus was on the boat, the disciples were there, and they encountered a storm. Just because we give our heart to Jesus, just because we call ourselves a Christian, just because we pray, does not exempt us from storms. We live in a world, we live with other people, right? And so there's going to be some storms. They might be physical storms. They might be emotional storms. They might be relational storms. They might be financial storms. Storms are going to come. And you and I are not exempt. But Jesus said he knew the weather. He knew what the weather would be. And at the very start of the journey, even knowing the weather, He said, we're going to go to the other side. Now, most of us, if we would see, if we would know a weather report like that, we would say, I'm just going to stay on the dock, let it pass. Maybe I'll go out on the lake later. Or today's not a day to go out and sail, right? But Jesus knew the weather, and he was taking them to the other side anyway. So we could, if you think about it, this kind of could tilt and rock some of your theology for just a minute, but Jesus led them into the storm. Right. He did. He knew, because we know Jesus knows everything, right? Okay? And he knew the storm would on the way over, and he led them out there anyway. So maybe this was a teaching moment for them to trust him. Now let's not get over in the ditch that, man, God just does bad things and leads us into the wilderness and into these storms to teach us lessons, and every bad thing is from God. Let's not go there. But let's understand that when we put the whole story together, it was a teaching moment to see how they would respond, whether in faith, whether they would just focus on the storm, or they would trust him, right? Okay. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal or the storm that has come to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, when storms come, instead of us getting all rattled and frazzled and moving on our own thoughts and our own feelings, we're told, don't be surprised. These things are going to happen. But let's make sure our faith is what rises during the storm. So picture this little boat. The waves are just crashing against it. It's wave after wave, and it's starting to fill the boat. And sometimes situations in our life feel that way. It feels like we're in a tiny boat, and the waves just keep crashing. Maybe you're in the middle of the waves. They're coming over your boat in your life right now. Maybe you're in between waves. Maybe you've had a few waves and now it seems a little calm, but you're just waiting for that next wave. Our life sometimes can feel like a storm. So I didn't give you this verse. Let me pull it here. While I'm telling this story, Haley, pull up Amos 5:19. Don't flash it up on the screen. Just get it logged in there, Amos 5:19. So there's a story, and this man was running and running, and a few people on the farm saw him running. And then they looked, and behind him, a bull was chasing him. Now, if a bull was, I'd probably run too. And so he'd run and run and run, and the man came across this hole that had been dug. So he jumped down in the hole, and the bull ran past. So the man peeked up in the hole, and he got out of the hole. Started going the opposite direction, but the bull saw him. So he starts running. He makes a circle again, trying to get back, and he jumps in the hole again. And the bull goes by. And then he gets out of the hole, and here comes, he starts to run the opposite direction. Bull comes again, so he circles back, a big wide circle, and jumps down in the hole. And he does this like several times. And the people are watching this, some of the farmhands. And one of them says, why doesn't he just stay in the hole? Makes sense, right? Why doesn't he just stay in the hole? The other guy says, because there's a rattlesnake in the hole. Amos 5 and 19. Did you find that and pull that up? It says, in that day, you will be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. And escaping from the bear, he leans his hand against the wall of his house and he's bitten by a snake. That kind of sounds like that story right there. Let me tell you something, church. Sometimes you can feel like you're running from the bull, and then you run into a bear, and you run into a snake, and it seems like everything that is happening in your life just isn't working out right. And you go from one thing to another, and it's just like one more wave over the boat, one more wave, another wave. Just when you think it's done and it's calm, then something else happens. Am I the only one that's ever had an experience in life like that?
No.
Okay. So, but here's the thing. In life, with these storms will test our faith and test how we're going to respond, how we're going to react, how we're going to talk about these things. And so the disciples, they woke up Jesus, and Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Why do you still not have faith? Because in the previous chapter, if you read, they didn't have faith there. And the enemy is always trying to come at our faith and get us off of faith and get into the place of operating in the natural realm. Right? Get us into the place where we're being led by our flesh and with our feelings on our sleeve instead of standing on the promises of God. 1 Peter 1:7. These trials, much like the storm, these storms in your life, these challenges, these tribulations, these trials, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than any gold. And then notice this next statement. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on that day when Jesus is revealed. So there is kind of a When storms happen, we have to look at it like this. Okay, this is part of a test, and I'm going to make sure my faith rises up, my faith shines bright, and God gets glory. Amen? Because our faith is often tested. There's what I call pressure test. How do you react when the pressure is on, when things are really difficult, not just a little uncomfortable, but when things are really difficult, things begin to try to stress you and you feel pressured everywhere you turn, how do you react to pressure? Secondly, one of the things that tests our faith is people. People, you know that saying, I've got one nerve left and you're on it. Get off my one nerve, you know? Or sometimes people just rub you the wrong way. There are some people, man, you just gel with and it's like this. And other people, it's almost like sandpaper and they just kind of push your buttons and rub you. And so sometimes people can test us. Whether we're going to lash out at them or whether we're going to be patient and kind and loving. Let's pass the test. Amen? And then there's this idea of persistence. That when you're facing a challenge, especially if a challenge doesn't just resolve itself, whether through just a situation or through a person, that if the challenge starts to linger 15 minutes, Some people, they can succumb to a challenge for 15 minutes and then, boom, all flesh breaks loose. Some people can succumb to a challenge for 24 hours. And then, man, if it hadn't changed, then that's the end. Some people can succumb to a challenge for weeks, months. If the challenge got really serious, okay, and you could see the enemy at work. And sometimes with these challenges, the enemy is working. And sometimes he's working through people, through a situation. Sometimes we allow him to work through us. But let's say we see the enemy working. And we know that what is happening is not God's best. How long are we willing to stay in the fight of faith and believe for God's will to come to pass? Oftentimes we give up way too soon. We throw in the towel and go, well, that must not have been God. Or we quit a job or we quit a person and we do things that we just quit. And so, you know, a person of faith recognizes the test and says, you know what, this is a test, and however long I have to stand in faith, I'm going to stand in faith. Doesn't mean there's times that while you're standing, you might feel a little wobbly. I think they still do it. I hadn't heard it in years, but they used to do these all the time on TV, and yeah, I'm sure they do them on radio. Maybe it's on phones now where they start going, beep, this is a test. This is only a test by the emergency broadcast system. For the next 60 seconds, you will hear, and you hear this long beep. Yeah. If we took this attitude that this is a test, it's only a test for the next day or the next 6 months, I'm going to wait and I'm going to pass the test and the storm is going to stop. Amen. Amen. Let's take that attitude. So, a lesson in faith on the storm would be this. At some point, hopefully at the very beginning, the middle, good, better, best. Good would be when the storm is about licked you and you are about done and you have nothing left to give. At least you're going to cry out to Jesus. Better would be in the middle of the storm. I recognize I can't fix this. I got to stand in faith and I'm going to cry out to Jesus. Best is right when the storm starts. You start crying out to Jesus. You start going to him in prayer. You start asking him, what do I do? What is the pathway out of this? Amen? Because here's the thing about a storm. At some point, we're all going to cry out to Jesus for help. And the disciples did. Now, these disciples, many of them were fishermen. And so I'm sure they knew how to navigate a boat or a sailboat or a rowboat, right? And so it doesn't say here, but, and I could be wrong. I'm going to just throw this out and tell you, it doesn't say this, but I'm pretty sure that if I were a fisherman by trade and I'm in this boat and the waves are crashing and water's coming into the boat like we read, I'm pretty sure I would start moving the sails and pointing them in a direction that could get me to safety or minimize the crashes of the waves. I'm sure if I didn't have a sail, I'd be yelling to the strongest men, okay, you start row, left, 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 right. I'm sure I would be trying to find some buckets to bail the water out, knowing that if the waves continue, the boat could sink. So I'm pretty sure that these disciples weren't doofs, and they actually tried to do some stuff to minimize the effects of the storm on their boat. But whatever they did, it didn't work. It didn't work for them. And at some point, I don't think it was right at the beginning, by the way the story plays out, so somewhere in the middle or the end, they cried out and they decide, we better wake Jesus. Or they're hollering and it says they woke up Jesus. And their first response wasn't like just, you know, Jesus, save us. The response kind of was, Jesus, don't you care? They called out to Jesus. Why? Because here's the thing. Here's a little side nugget. The disciples weren't afraid of the storm. You know what they were afraid of? Drowning. One translation, don't you care if we drown? They were afraid of drowning, afraid of dying. They weren't actually so much focused on the storm as much as the effects that would cost their life. They went to worst case scenario. During the storm, listen, when we're in our flesh, we go to worst case scenario. Oh, I'm going to die. Never going to make it out of this. We start saying things that are worst case scenario. We start letting words of doubt and unbelief come out of our mouth instead of words of faith. And the goal is right at the beginning when you first recognize, man, there's a storm brewing. Start speaking then. Start speaking positive words. Start speaking words of faith right then. Because at some point, listen, at some point, you're going to cry out to God for help. Do it at the beginning and start speaking positive. Said, don't you care that we're going to drown? 1 Peter 5 and 7. We know this verse, but I'm going to teach something too. Just a little adjustment of thinking about this verse. Because the verse is super simple. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Now, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Great weather, man. He knew the storm was coming. They wake him up. They're frantic. He says, where's your faith? They said, don't you care about us if we drowned? Now, let me ask you this. At what point do you think that Jesus started caring about them? Did he care for them when the storm came? Sure he did. Did he just care for them after the storm had done everything? Well, sure he cared then. But is it possible he actually cared about them from the minute they set their foot into the boat? So with this verse, it says, cast your care on him, for he cares for you. We kind of get this idea, because of the way this sentence structure is, that once we cast our care upon him, then he starts caring. But that's not what this verse, actually, when you study it out, it's not what it means. It means, because he cares for you, then give him the cares. See, he already cares before you care about it. He already cares about you and your safety and your financial well-being and your relational well-being. He already cares about that before you ever cry out and say, hey, Jesus, here's my fret and my worry. Now, could you start caring for me? He always cares for you. He always wants what's best. But there comes a point in time when there's a challenge, a care, a trial, there comes a point in time that we individually have to decide when we're going to give that care to him that he already cares about. So when we're going through a storm, it is not okay. It is not advised to try to weather the storm carrying it on your shoulders. I'll figure it out. I'll make it work. No, give it to him. When you recognize right away, you can't do it. Give it to the one who can take care of it. Amen? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1 and 8. 1, 8 and 9. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. And notice this. It says, we were burdened beyond measure. Burdened beyond measure. Also, we could say burdened above strength. So, man, this trial, this challenge, it is serious. It has burdened us beyond measure. Now, some people say, they say this. A lot of people say some things that they say are in the Bible, but they're not in the Bible. It's like you've heard that somewhere and someone's told you in the Bible, but you haven't read it yourself to know it's actually not in the Bible. So we have this idea and this thing that people say, God will never give you more than you can bear. So you've got this deep trial, this challenging, this weighty tribulation, but God will never give you more than you can bear. Have we ever said that or heard that? And you haven't said it. You know the Bible, but have you heard that? And so here's the thing. The premise is that whatever you're going through, you can handle it. Now, granted, whatever we go through, if we've got Jesus in our boat and we're operating in faith, we can handle a lot of things. But really, the real crux of the truth in the Word of God is not going to give you more than you can withstand, that you can resist, that your faith can overcome. And listen, with faith, all things are possible. So whatever you and I are challenged with, we say, man, this is my limit. Don't say that because, man, it seems like then something else gets piled on. Just don't say that. Just say, my faith is going to win. Amen? Now it says, so that we despaired even life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Now notice this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's pretty powerful if you can raise the dead. Yes. I've never done that. I want to do that before I leave this earth. I would love to raise someone from the dead. Not for my own glory, but just to see what God did and make everybody just like come to God. But notice this. It says we were burdened beyond our measure, even above strength. But it said, don't trust in yourselves, but trust in God. And that was the same thing that was happening on their boat. That storm was beyond what they could handle. But yet, they needed to trust God. He was saying, where's your faith? That was the question he posed to them. Why do you still not have faith? So, church, guys, whatever challenge you're going through, it may seem like a lot. It may seem overwhelming. It may seem like you're ready to throw in the towel. You may be at your wit's end, but trust God. Trust God. Amen? Now, another lesson in faith is this, with this story. Jesus will either calm your storm, whatever's the storm that of life that's coming at you, he will either calm your storm or he's going to calm you. He will calm your storm, or he might just not calm the storm. In this story, he calmed the storm. But sometimes what really needs calmed is us. Okay? Whether the storm keeps raging or not, even in the middle of a storm, you and I can be calm. We can have the peace of God. He is Jehovah Shalom, which means the God of peace. And you've heard this said, peace isn't necessarily just the absence of conflict or the absence of a trial. Now, if we don't have conflicts and trials and tribulations going on, it is easier to be calm, right? But we've just established that there's going to be storms in life. You're going to have them. And so us having peace is not contingent upon if the storm stops or not. Because sometimes the storm rages for weeks or months. And when it lingers, you know, if the storm is over in 5 minutes, we had that storm last night, lasted about, 15 minutes? I don't know, you know? And we knew it was going to stop. It wasn't going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever until we're raptured out of here. I never thought, man, this storm is never going to quit. This is just the rest of our life. No, I knew it would stop. And at one point I said to Guy, oh, it looks like the trees are swaying less. Because, you know, we're out on the porch checking it out. And then it kind of started up again. I thought, oh, no, it's not done yet. But I never thought, well, now there's proof. It's never going to stop. Storms will pass.
That's right.
They will pass. And it's not an issue if the storm rises and it passes, because it's going to storms are going to come and storms are going to go. So the real crux of the story is, what are we going to do during the storm? And so often we start praying and speaking against the wind, let's say. Okay. And you can sure do that. But most of the time, you know what God wants us to learn? Is to trust him and just have some peace. Now, that seems bizarre to have all of this trial swirling around you, and yet you're just real calm. It's not that I'm neglecting responsibility and, oh, well, whatever. No, remember, the peace is coming from a place of faith and trust in God. It's kind of like that hurricane in the eye of the storm. It's swirling all around, but in that center, they fly in there, and it's just so calm. You can be like that. You can be at peace. But if Jesus isn't the center and the focus, and you're not standing on the promises of God, then that storm is going to blow you every which way from day to day. But we get to choose what we're going to focus on so that we can have peace. And the scripture said, and there was a great calm. You see those shirts like, what are they like? Stay calm and, I can't think of them right now. Like I saw one the other day, it said, eat pizza and stay calm. You know, there's all kinds of shirts that are telling you to do something and just be calm. Well, I say, go get right with Jesus, right? I mean, link up with Jesus right away and just be calm. Weather the storm with Jesus. Don't weather it alone. Amen? And so it says there was a great calm. That word great is mega, M-E-G-A. There was a mega calm. I mean, it was like when he stopped it, there wasn't even a ripple. It was like a sheet of glass. You've seen the lake when it's like that, and there is no wave, nothing. That's how Jesus took care of it. And so we all want Jesus to calm the storm. Paul said, you know, I had this challenge, this thorn in my flesh, he calls it. It wasn't an actual thorn, but a challenge. And he said, 3 times I prayed that the Lord would remove it. But the Lord didn't. But he said, but the grace was sufficient, right? That power was made perfect in his weakness. So sometimes, guys, if the storm doesn't calm right away, well, at any point it ever calms, you don't have to wait and have peace just when the storm stops. Have the peace all the way through. So in the end, God gets the glory. Amen? And so some of the prayer needs to be not so much, Lord, please correct this person, or please stop this situation, please stop this storm. Maybe the prayer needs to be, God, give me peace. Let me function and operate in your peace. Let me keep my eyes on you. Let me keep speaking the truth so that peace just calms me. And one day, the storm's going to end and I'm going to be okay. Because here's the other point. If that tiny little word, major consequences or major benefits. If Jesus is in your boat, you will go to the other side. If Jesus is in your boat, you will make it through the storm. Now, will you make it through exactly like you think you're going to make it through? Maybe not, but you will make it through. If Jesus is in your boat. But let's flip that. If Jesus isn't in your boat, the storm is going to stop at some point, right? Because they don't last forever. But when you come through on the other side, it may be a mess. If Jesus isn't in your boat. There's a song, What Would I Do Without Jesus? Something, and then it says, thank God I'll never know. I heard that song, I thought, yeah, that's right. I don't know how people make it through some stuff. But you know what? I'll never have to know, because I got Jesus. We go, so if I'm a Christian, is Jesus in my boat? If I'm a Christian, is Jesus in my little dinghy? Well, he's there if you allow him to be there, okay? He cares for you. He loves you. He wants to be there. But if you don't invite him into your boat, into your life, into your situation, then yes, Jesus still wants to help you, but it's different. If you're not calling out to Jesus and you're not standing on the word, it's kind of like Jesus is swimming, paddling along on the outside of the boat. And trust me, I would rather go through a storm with Jesus in my boat than for me or Jesus to be outside the boat. Amen. Doing it ourselves. So if Jesus is in our boat, then you will make it through the storm. Because remember, when at the very beginning, Jesus said what? Let us go to the other side. Yes. Us, him and them. He didn't say, let us go to the middle of the lake and die. Had he said, let us go to the middle of the lake and die, I'd say, oh, no, thank you. I'll wait for Gilligan's boat. So what he says, listen, what he says is what he means.
That's right.
And so who are we to question him? Let's finish with this scripture. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 through 7. Remember, if Jesus is in your boat, you're going to make it through the storm. Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You know that song? When you pass through the waters, I will be there. Okay, I'm not going to sing the rest of it because it'll get ugly. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. They're not going to overtake you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame even scorch you. Drop down to verse 5. Verse 5 says, fear not, for I am with you. The Lord says, when you're in these situations, in the water and the fire and the trial and the challenges, whatever, he says, you're not alone. You are not alone. He says, I will be with you, and I can protect you, and I can keep you safe. If he's going to be with us, then that means we have to be with him. Now, let's read this from the Message translation. Isaiah 43:2 from the Message. But now God's message, the God who made you first place, verse 2, says, don't be afraid, I've redeemed you, I have called you by name, you're mine. When you're in over your head, anyone ever been in over their head on something? Sometimes by our own doings. We made some poor decisions, and now it's like, oh, dear Jesus, how are we getting out of this? When you're in over your head, he says, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. And then in verse 5 it says again, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Listen, those are words we can take to the bank. When it feels like the walls are closing in, it feels like, man, you have to tip your head like this just to breathe because the water's right up here. You feel like you're about ready to get sucked under. You feel like you're walking on coals of fire. The flames are lapping at your legs. Things are intense. The pressure is strong. There doesn't look to be a way out. People and situations are not cooperating with you. It seems like they're being led by the enemy and you're trying to stand on God's word. You're not going to go down. You're not going to be burned. You're not going to be scorched. Even if you got yourself in over your head, God is our helper. Amen. So whether you're going through a storm now, maybe you've just come out of a storm, maybe you don't know it, but Jesus is leading you to do something, and maybe there's going to be some resistance. Maybe there's going to be a little bit of a storm that stirs up in the next week or 2 weeks or month. You know, I would love to say, no storms allowed for Life Christian Center people. I mean, I pray a lot for you, and I pray that the enemy doesn't devour you and that you see things in the spirit that you need to see to avert some things. I pray a lot of things, but I also know that stuff happens. And so, at some point, as you continue to live and breathe, you're going to encounter something. Might be a small little, just little storm. A scattered thunderstorm. It might be a tempest. But I know this. If you'll keep Jesus in your boat, stay focused on the Lord, you will be okay. And you will come out on the other side. And you will have a story to tell, a testimony to tell. I'm sure when they, because, you know, after he calmed the storm, you know what they did? They went to the other side. Duh. They went to the other side. And remember they said, who is this man that even calms the waves, the winds, the storm? I'm sure when they got over there and all those other boats, they said, man, you should have seen what Jesus did. He stood up, he pointed his finger to the sky, and stuff stopped. There was a mega calm. I'm sure they had some story to tell a testimony to tell. They're going down the road. A few weeks later, someone says something. They said, man, 2 weeks ago, I was in the boat with Jesus, and you know what happened? And they tell the story.
Yes.
And you're going to have a story to tell too.
Right.
Amen? And let the story be that God came through, that the power of God was displayed, and things worked for your good because you stood on the word and you prayed in the spirit and things worked out for you.
That's right.
Don't let it be, well, man, that was a storm, and man, I got a cut here and a cut here and a cut here, and I'm just now starting to walk. Amen. So right now you might be feeling like you're running from the lion, and you run into the bear, and you lean on the house, and the snake bit you. You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Amen.
Amen? You'll be better than okay. You'll be an overcomer.